If you were able to join us last evening, you heard Father Don sing beautifully a couple times last night, not only the Exalted, but also in his homily. I was so moved and inspired by his singing that I'll sing during my homily. No, that's not going to happen. But I do have four things for us. An invisible enemy, being held ransom, a promise, and an invitation from two college students. Those are the four things on my mind here on this Easter morning. It's been said that we're at war right now with an invisible enemy. No one wants to come in contact with this enemy, and for good reason. It causes one to grow weak, to gasp for breath, and can even lead to death. You can't see this enemy, but it's wreaking havoc in our everyday lives, even forcing us to change our annual Easter plans, which is causing a lot of pain. And because of all of this, because of the invisible enemy, this Easter morning, maybe more so than any other Easter morning in our memory, death is on our mind. But we're in good company, because death is exactly what is on the mind of Mary Magdalene and the other Mary on the very first Easter morning. Our gospel begins today with Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. We hear going to see the tomb. They're walking in the darkness before dawn to go see the tomb. How could anything but death be on their minds? Like, you can just imagine as they're walking to the tomb, they're not even talking to one another. They're just replaying in their heads the events over the last couple days. The handing of Jesus over, of him being scourged, the death, seeing him crucified, seeing him placed in the tomb and the stone being rolled in front of it. Death is on their mind on the morning of the first Easter. They feel defeated. Right? They knew that Jesus had lost because they saw him die. Like, in their mind, the world has lost. They had no future. They had no hope. And see, that brings us to being held ransom. Generally speaking, if one is being held ransom, they have no future and they have no hope. If one is being held ransom, they are completely under control, under a power of someone else, where they've lost their freedom. They can't act on their own. One who is being held ransom is utterly dependent on someone else from the outside coming in and doing something. Because their own strength to get out of their situation is completely inadequate. So think of someone being held hostage in a room by someone. Like, they need a SWAT team to come from the outside to come in to do something to that person that's holding them captive and to free them. That's the exact language the Bible and the church fathers use for us, that the enemy holds us ransom. And we've been held ransom ever since the beginning, when Adam and Eve sold themselves, and in the process, all of humanity into captivity. In Matthew 20, verses 28, Jesus says about himself, the Son of Man came to give his life as a ransom for many. In Mark chapter 3, verse 27, again, Jesus says, no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man. Then indeed, he may plunder his house. Satan is the one Jesus comes into the house to bind up so as to plunder the goods. Who are the goods? It's you and me. Because we're held ransom. So back to the two Marys walking to the tomb on the very first Sunday morning, the very first Easter morning. As death is on their mind, and they're replaying the scenes of the last couple days, they all of a sudden see the stone that's rolled away. And with that, everything changes for them. Everything changes for them. And that's the promise, the good news of the gospel, the good news of Easter is that the tomb is empty and Jesus has risen from the dead. And with that comes with it a whole plethora of promises. And I wish I could, you know, turn to one of the pages in here, in the Bible right here, even in, turn to the pages of one of the Gospels, say John chapter 18 here, John chapter 20, 21, the stories of the resurrection. I wish I could turn to it right now and say that one of the promises of which is all encompassed in the Easter message is that because Jesus is resurrection, God promises that a vaccine to the coronavirus is coming, and it's coming soon, that all of our troubles will soon be over. But that's not a promise. It's not in here. It's not a promise of it's not an Easter morning promise. But there's one particular promise, as there is a whole plethora of one, there's one particular promise that is an Easter promise that is of point to mention this morning. And it's namely this: you will not die. Our second reading this morning, we hear Paul's letter to the Colossians in chapter 3, after he tells us to keep our minds fixed above, not here on the earth. Verse 3, Paul simply and confidently says to the Christians that he's writing, he says, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. It's like, what kind of Easter message is, like, why have that be read on Easter morning? Why have that? Why does the church have that be proclaimed as our second reading on Easter morning? Paul very bluntly saying, you have died. See, the world shoves away death. At all costs, the world just wants to shove it away. And right now, it's ever more just confronted with us face to face. Living in the victory of Jesus' resurrection, we're okay with being told what Paul tells us this morning. That he says, you have died. Elsewhere, Paul says, it is no longer I who lives, but who Christ who lives in me. He says, your life is hidden with Christ. Because of what it is that God did for us on the cross, we're hidden with him. And he presents us to the Father, transformed and renewed. But it's the victory of the resurrection. I'm reminded of a young man who gave a eulogy for his mother at the funeral of his mom. And this kind of made its way on social media around. And he was the beginning, or I don't know if it was beginning or the end of his eulogy, he was mentioning how as he was at his mother's bedside, as she was sick and she was suffering and she was nearing death, he prayed to God. This is a man of great faith and a woman, his mom, of great faith. And as he was at the bedside of his mom, he recounted the fact that he prayed and begged God to heal her. He prayed and begged that his mom could get better, that he would have many more years, that she'd be alive. And he mentioned that as he was wrestling with God, God answered him. And God said, "Victory was already given to your mother. Because of the victory I had given to you, there was always only two answers to your prayers. Either she was going to be healed, or she was going to be healed. Either she was going to live, or she was going to live. Either she was going to go be with family, or she was going to go be with family. Either she was going to be taken care of, or she was going to be taken care of." See, that's living with confidence in the victory of the resurrection, of Christ's defeat over sin and death. Living with confidence that death does not have the final say, but Christ does. It brings us lastly to an invitation from two college students. Early this morning, before dawn, I was on my way back to the church from the rectory to here, and as I was walking over, I saw two young women, college students, standing outside the church. I haven't seen them in a while, so I asked them, you know, how the family was doing, and of course they're out of school, and after telling me that their family's doing well, that everyone's safe. Just matter-of-factly, one of them said, as I asked them, like, "Well, what are you guys doing here so early?" One just turned to me and said, "We came to see Jesus." That's it. That's the Easter invitation for all of us this morning. In the midst of everything, come see Jesus. Like, whoever you are watching this right now, wherever you are watching this from, come see Jesus. See that he's risen. See that the tomb is empty, and see that that changes everything. Not just in an abstract, generic way, but in a personal way, in a deep way, that I can live with the confidence that I'm loved, that I can live with the confidence that my life matters, that my life is in his hands, and that he won't drop me, that my life matters so much with God that he came and took on flesh. He went to the cross. He busted through the locked tomb so as to ransom me, to liberate me, to free me, so that I don't have to live in bondage anymore. Like in whatever is holding me down right now. And maybe this invitation to come Jesus, to come see Jesus, especially for those of us watching right now who do feel that we're shackled up by an invisible enemy. Not the invisible enemy of a virus, but the invisible enemy of which the Bible says was murderous from the beginning. An invisible enemy of which the Bible says was a liar and a deceiver from the beginning. If you or I feel shackled up in any way this morning, if we feel in any way bound up by an invisible enemy, come see Jesus. And in a moment when we have some time just in this time of silence, make a prayer right now inviting the risen Lord into your life. Just make a simple prayer wherever you're watching this on your computer, whether it's with the family or it's just by yourself, you've come across this shared video. Invite Jesus into your heart right now. He will come because the tomb is empty and he has risen.